Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode, Reseller's Mindset Podcast, Mike next to Johnny. Today's topic is a fun, but it is an important one, and I think there's two aspects to this. When should somebody quit reselling? And I'm not just talking about, hey, you know, like, I quit, I'm not getting results. You also can look at it from the other side as, hey, I am retiring from reselling. I know this is unheard of. This is like, and there's no really YouTubers out there that are like, I'm retiring from reselling. It's like, we resell until we're dead. But the other, you know, side of it is, hey, I am not making the money I need to make. Maybe you were misled on the kind of belief of what the business would be and how profitable it would be. And I do believe if something doesn't work, you have to kind of throw in the towel at some point. I mean, if I can't pay the bills with what I do, I need to get a job. And that's just the reality of life. Maybe, you know, but even then, right, if you don't have any responsibility, maybe you live with someone else, your bills are super low. I still would argue that if you're not getting results that you should be or like expect to get, then even at that point, when you don't have any financial responsibility, you should probably still move on to something that's going to make you some money. So, Johnny, what are your thoughts on throwing in the towel with reselling or even retiring? I do plan to retire one day. Let me make that clear. I talk about it all the time. Everybody gets all riled up because I say, I don't want to do this when I'm 70 years old. Listen, no offense to you out there hustling. I know there's a lot to be said for staying active in your, you know, later years of life. My active won't be carrying books and, you know, licking CDs and DVDs clean to sell on Amazon. So, Johnny, take us away.
Okay, well, we'll start with the probably more apparent and obvious ones to the majority of our listeners here. When should you quit, not retire reselling? So people that need to quit, my opinion, it's a couple of criteria. One, you are not making any money and you've tried everything you have been able to try and are still unsuccessful. So you either need to start selling something different or quit altogether, in my opinion. Criteria number two, you're part of multiple groups like Mike's here or Reseller Greatness or some other group, and you refuse to listen to any of the information people have given you, myself included. I've given information to people who ignore me. And you know what? They are still not making any money. Why? Well, because you didn't listen to the information that would have corrected the problem of you making money. Also, another criterion for when you're quitting, you too big for your britches. And what I mean by that is you spent a whole lot of money and your recoup cost turnaround is not there. So maybe quit and start again to stop and then start fresh like you should have and you grow into what you want to be. Talking mainly to people who just charge everything. Oh, I'm going to get a warehouse. I'm going to buy all my inventory. Now my $10,000 credit card is now maxed and rent's due next month and I don't got it. Well, maybe you should foreclose and start from your room like everybody else did and start small and grow into it. That's the correct way to grow, in my opinion. For your retirees, well, when you've made enough money, you've reinvested your money elsewhere, and you now are making what you would need to live on and then some off those investments, then I think you can start thinking along the lines of retiring. How much longer do you want to go? Do you want your new monthly income from these other investments to be slightly higher? If not, well, you can plug pull whenever you want and, I don't know, go golfing or sit by the beach drinking Mai Tais next to some pool boy or girl. Those are options.
How much per hour do you think you should make as a reseller? Like, I don't know, throw a number out there. Like, how much do you think as a reseller you should make per hour if you broke everything down in your business?
If you're full-time, if you're not doing between 180, 250 an hour, and you're full time, like true full time, and this accounts for investing and all that. That's the kind of money you would need on an hourly basis. Every hour you put in, you're doing between 180 and 250 of results of your efforts and work, in my opinion. If you're doing bulk, it should be probably close to that 250 mark. If you're not, if you're cherry picking, probably close to the 180 and then somewhere in between range, in my opinion. If you're a hobbyist or part-timer or supplemental income, of course that number's way lower. But I'm not really speaking to those people. I'm speaking to people who've decided to make this a career, emphasis on career, not just a chuckles. I'll go down to the thrift store every once in a while and I'll get me some books and DVDs, make myself a box and call myself a reseller. Yeah.
That sounds like me, dude. Every once in a while, I stumble into a thrift store. It's late at night. I'm drunk and I just grab a few things and I make a whole bunch of money. But I do think one person that should quit, if I had to like try to identify like the characteristics and traits of somebody, is somebody that jumps to every shiny object that pops up in reselling, whether that's business model. There's a million business models, right? We kind of only talk about bulk and cherry picking, but you got people that do a million different things behind the scenes. You got, in the Amazon world, Amazon to Amazon, eBay to Amazon. There's so many different things in Amazon, wholesale, RA, OA, private label. I mean, the possibilities are endless. And it's the same with eBay, right? Everything sellers that they now all of a sudden they want to start selling sports cards this month, and then next month they want to try video games. I think those people, after 3 months of doing that kind of nonsense, you just need it. You're never going to gain traction or get results, no matter what crazy idea you come up with to stick with. It's fine to try different things, but those are experiments you're observing as you are currently building the current business you have. This isn't like, okay, well, I'm washing my hands immediately of what I have going on now, and I'm just jumping all into this other thing, and I have no idea it's going to work. Then people are never going to survive. And I see it all the time in the social media realm on YouTube. It's like, well, this doesn't work. Well, how long did you actually try to sell books on Amazon or sell CDs or DVD on Amazon? Well, I tried for 2 months. Well, is that really enough time to
I mean, it
actually.
takes 6 weeks to even get past the fee nonsense when you start.
It's like, what's a time range you think to give something a shot to see if it's actually going to work before you decide, okay, this isn't working.
6 months, and if you're getting mediocre results, add an additional 6 months on that to see if you can make them real results, in my opinion.
For me, I think you're a little high on that. I don't think people as common sense as that makes, Johnny, you have to realize the reason people got into reselling is because it's flashy, fast money. It's
Oh.
not 6 months money. It's I would say 3 months. I think 3 months is fair, even for somebody who loves the flashiness, to see, okay, I'm going to commit to something for 3 months. And this can be anything, right? Like maybe you want to start writing, books. Maybe you want to start publishing books on Amazon KDP, right? You have to give yourself a chance. And one thing I kind of look back on myself and I pride myself on is if you don't get results for something, it's A-okay to be like, I gave it my best shot. I'm backing away. It is what it is. I'm going to try something else. But people can't seem to figure that out. It's like, I guess the same could kind of be said like in relationships, right? It's like if me and you hated each other and we just showed up to this every single week and like it would and we just drug it out for years and years. And a lot of people's, relationships kind of wind up in the same spot. It's if you're not getting what you want out of something, it's fair to give it a shot, try to fix it, but at some point you gotta walk away from it.
I like how you made us sound like an old married couple.
It's the truth, dude. I mean, it's the same way. It's not just business, it's life in general. Whether no matter what you're doing in life, you go to a new job, maybe you don't like it the first month, maybe you're not, maybe it's a commission job. Like how many sales jobs people start and it's like, oh, well, this job's 90% commission. Well, of course you're not going to be making the money in the first month. You don't even have a client list. Things take time to build, but at some point, if you ain't getting the results, I can't be the guy that sells solar panels on 90% commission for 6 months and I'm selling one solar panel a month. Like I can't pay the bills with that. And I have to say, okay, well, I appreciate the opportunity, but now I'm going to go get a job that pays me per hour. So I'm guaranteed X amount of money.
I'll give you a 3 month timeline. If that person, day one, looks at all the numbers, or at least learns where they're located so they know where to look at them, by a full week, they should know and be looking at their numbers every day, documenting things, keeping track, as well as learning all the little nuances that go with all these things, where things are located on the Amazon or eBay windows, how to you're striving to improve yourself over the course of this 3 months. It's not wait 2 months in, okay, now I need to learn title structure if you're doing eBay. Okay, now I need to look at how many units I'm packing in a box because there's costs associated with that now. You don't wait to do these things. You need to be thinking about these things from day one, or at least by week two, because now you've done it. You've okay. These are all the things wrong that I'm fixing, and also these are all the things I need to concentrate and hone in on. If you're doing that kind of business, yeah, I'll say 3 months is enough. But what happens, and what I see in multitudes of groups, the people we associate with, they wait so long during their reseller career to start improving. And it's like, why? We don't say anything new week to week, really.
No.
It's the same old spiel. Why are you waiting this long to start implementing what we're advising you to do? I don't understand.
I people probably hate me for what I'm about to say.
Good.
I still can't wrap my head around it. How you can spend 40 hours a week in a reselling business and make, $400, $500. And I honestly, I'm trying to think to myself, like, if I had to spend 40 hours a week in an eBay business, like, where does the time go? Because I've never been that person, right? I'm all about processes, saving as much time as I can with Amazon. What the hell am I going to do for 40 hours a week in an eBay business unless I have an unlimited amount of items to list? I mean, what else really is there to do? Like, enlighten me, like, how I should spend 40 hours, and where am I even going to spend my 40 hours? Like, it's got to be like 75% of its listing, right? I would assume like 75% of your time on an eBay business is going to be listing. Am I right? Am I wrong? Where am I at here, dude? You
No,
do.
you're right on that. I mean, your pre-processing for your photo prep. I mean, well, the pre-processing, that's not so bad. Maybe take you a couple hours with
Oh,
five.
yeah. If you're doing like clothing and sneaks, you got to clean this stuff. Okay. I see. All right. I'll give you some time for that.
I mean, then your photos, that are probably another couple hours there. And then majority of it, yeah, is going to be listing and a little bit of shipping. And then, okay, let's say you didn't have the 500 hours, so let's throw in, I don't know, 10 or 12 of that 40-hour work week, maybe 15 to source. But still, the majority of it is going to, in fact, be listing, especially when you're starting, because you're not going to know what you're doing. You could try selling similar, but again, if you notice things in that week to 2 week time frame I gave you, those sell similar things. There's so much wrong information in there. You're going to notice this and be like, this is wrong, flat out. This is wrong. And then you're going to have to correct it. And then you know forward not to do that. So then it's going to take you longer and you're going to have to start from scratch and then learning your starting over strategy and then how improving those processes. But again, this 40 hours, it's going to shrink dramatically once your processes improve. And then what's going to happen is you're going to want to up your listing thing, which makes the other things take longer. Even your shipping is going to go up. And that's this probably the shortest thing in all of this is the shipping.
What do you think the average hours per week worked by eBay sellers is? Overall, including people
Overall,
that, yeah, like
12
10,
or less.
how you said 12 or less?
Yeah, probably between 12 and 16 hours, I would say. Because if we're encompassing all of resellers,
Yeah.
I'm going to say half of that is going to be them sourcing, looking around, meandering to find what I like to call grail shopping. And well, they settle for not grails, and that's what they take home with them because they didn't find any grails. And that's what they then have to list because that's what they brought home with them. Or they put it in that pile that they never get around to. That's most resellers, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. It might even be less than that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the person that has the eBay business, and maybe they're brand new, or maybe they've been around for a while, and they want to spend the least amount of time in that eBay business that they possibly can. I think people get offended when you say, "Well, I'm full-time eBay," and then they're like, "Well, how many hours are you putting in?" And you're like, "Well, 15 hours." And it's like, "No, you're not. How dare you say you're full-time? You're only putting in 15 hours." I think that type of mindset of not wanting to be, in eBay's warehouse, aka your warehouse, all day, every day, is how you're going to make leaps and bound jumps to the point where, okay, you don't have to be in the business 40 hours a week. Maybe that person who's like myself, like kind of my Amazon business, 20 hours a week, maybe that person hires an employee. Like the person that's working 50 hours a week should have did 5 years ago.
Right. I mean, if you're, I could see an Amazon seller hiring a shipper where they're the ones that pack the boxes, and then the owner, whoever they are, their job is just to go back and bring the stuff, maybe price it, or maybe that's the shipper's job too. But anyway, you could run a very 40-hour, good 40-hour Amazon business, a week business with two people, I promise you. If you still have a full-time job and you're doing this on part-time, it's hard to bring on an employee because you're only putting in part-time hours. That's why most people don't have employees that we talk to on a regular basis, just because they aren't putting in the full-time hours to get the full-time results, in my opinion. They want more money than they think it'll come with just, I'm not saying work longer hours, maybe you source different kinds of materials. You aren't sending in the $5 DVDs anymore. Maybe you're upping your game to the box set Criterion only kind of model where your ASP is $50 per item, but you're going to spend 5 hours to find one of those. So you gotta, how many hours do you have to work with, and how can you maximize those dollars per hour kind of thing? Like, are you better off spending that hour going to a yard sale, buying the whole crate of books or box of books on the ground? Are you better off, okay, I'm going to spend an hour online, find a lot that has what I just mentioned in there, buy that, wait for it to arrive, process it, figure out how to get rid of the junk, or I don't know, go drive to that place that's 30 minutes out of your way, go in there, look around, be prepared to walk out with nothing because your model's different. So there's all kinds of models. I don't know. And if you're, that's the thing too. If you're failing at one model, what does it hurt to try another model?
Yeah, but you got to realize you're failing. That's the problem. People can't
Yeah.
accept the fact they're doing something and it's not working.
Well, the telltale sign of this is your bank account going up. At the end of the day, that's all that matters, is your bank account going up, or at least maintaining the same of what is acceptable. It should always be going up, in my opinion. Always.
Well, somebody commented on a YouTube post I made the other day when I said I don't know nothing about books. I just like the money I can make from books. And they said, well, money's not everything.
They're full of shit.
That's just literally that's what right through my mind. I said, listen, I understand, like I'm not like out here like money, 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 but at the end of the day, like I need money to survive.
The quote everybody knows, money can't buy happiness, but it certainly can buy peace of mind. Bills are paid. We're gonna eat today.
I think another kind of person I wanted to talk about is the person that is always trying to directly compare themselves to somebody else. Like if I started on eBay and I'm like, oh, I want to sell used clothes and like tech and sports, and I want to do tech and sports numbers. Like everybody's business is different in reselling, and that direct comparison, it's never going to get you nowhere, right? Like if I compare myself to the largest bookseller every single day, I'm never going to win that battle, right? I think you have to be consistent within yourself and your business. And with time, you will get results. And a perfect example of this is when we started this podcast, when I started YouTube, we had nobody listening, no subscribers, no nothing. But every week, the videos come out, the episodes come out. With time, you gain traction. If you're doing things the right way, consistency over time, you're only going to continue to grow. For some reason, it's so hard to get that through to people is just be consistent, focus on what's working, and you won't ever have to worry about quitting because your business will keep growing till you get to a point where you don't have any more time to keep growing it.
You're not going to remember this, but I do. Remember back when you used to do those like 1 to 2 hour Q&A streams?
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, you were giving out some good information during one of those, and I saw some people tip you like $1, $5.
Yeah.
I gave you $50, and I still remember the look on your face. Whoa, $50. And this is back in your infancy stage, right? When you were just starting your channel. That was a big deal. I admit it was a big deal, but I still remember that. But what you were giving out was just pound for pound solid information. That was worth $50 for me. You saved me some time. It more than $50 worth of time. But I'm kind of cheap, so I just gave you $50. But no, I mean, paying you $50 for $500 worth of information or more, or expands throughout my career, that's worth it to me. And people got to understand that too. That same kind of investment could be for your sourcing too. If you invest in, I don't know, a better printer that improves your processes, or a cart so you're not hand carrying things back and forth, you've make those kind of investments, either for knowledge or for a tool that it speeds you up, you're just going to make more money off the long run, and it pays for itself in spades.
I think like being excited about what you do and like I'm like the money excites me, Johnny. You know, like I get excited when I get paid every 2 weeks from Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
The money excites me. And I think with reselling, if you're not enjoying yourself, and it can't just be, well, I love sourcing, right? Because Johnny just said the person that should call it quits is the person that's listening to this right now and has a death pile of 500 items and they're still going out to the thrift store today. Like you're never going to get nowhere. Why are we sourcing when we have the inventory already to list? You already paid for that inventory. It's not even like potential profit. It's money lost at this point because it's not listed. Like it's not sold. That's the biggest thing to me is be consistent with everything in the business. You can't be consistent sourcing and not consistent listing. That doesn't work. eBay, Amazon, you got to get things listed to sell it. If you don't enjoy listing, you hate listing, you don't list, then 100% you need to quit because the only way you're ever going to make money reselling is if you list the stuff you buy.
What's the kicker to me about this whole statement is on Amazon, we got that fair pricing thing. Like, I did my job. I sent it in. It should be for sale. But now it's in Amazon's dirty back room, not for sale, because now I got to think of a number to put on it or drill it down to where it'll finally come back up for sale. It's there. And it's costing me money every month, every time it's not for sale. So it's like, that's a weird version of an Amazon death piles, that fair pricing thing. But anyway, I'm getting off topic. When you should call it quits.
If you complain about the platform you sell on every other day.
Oh yeah, please do. If you're spending more time watching YouTube than working, there's a problem. If you're in total research mode for 75% of your
Dude,
work.
that's like 0.0001% of reselling. Let's get real here.
Watching YouTube does not make you money. It gives you some knowledge to make money with, but if you sit there and treat it as, I don't know, a binge watching college course, you're doing it wrong. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I apologize for that statement. You are, in fact, doing it wrong.
All right, I need my editor to edit out that so people continue to watch my YouTube channel.
But no, I hear that, and I hear about, oh, did you see this on YouTube or did you see that? No, I don't got time to watch weird things on YouTube.
Maybe we can come out with a magazine that's like all the reselling news wrap up, right? And then you just buy the magazine once a week. It's like People Magazine, but it's like, I don't know, it's just
Be a
the
very
cover.
slim magazine, because in my magazine, it's only things that would matter would go into it. Maybe it's like a one sheet pamphlet, because the rest of it's just garbage and flash.
I'm guilty of that. So like when I first started reselling, like the amount of people I was subscribed to, the amount of content I consumed instead of, actively getting out there and finding stuff, it's hard, like That's it, Johnny. Like, we all don't live in our warehouses like you. Like, we just want to sit around and watch YouTube videos and talk to our favorite resellers. And you know, and for me, it's even tougher now, especially since we've had so many YouTube resellers on the podcast, right? Like, I want to support people that, you know, have come on the channel, and like, I enjoy watching their videos, but I'm in the same boat where I can't just sit here all day and watch everybody's video, right? If I think about how many YouTubers we've had on the podcast that are resellers, it's like, I don't have enough time in my day to watch all their videos and comment.
Many, yeah. It's like, if somebody mentioned that's in the reselling world, they mentioned to me, hey, you should watch this video. It's got some good info in it. I'll watch those, but very rarely do I go out and just, well, who am I subscribed to? I need to catch up on their videos. I used to do that, but I just don't got time for that these days. Maybe when we go to that other part of the spectrum that we're talking about, when it's time to retire, maybe then I'll catch up on everybody's channels 10 years later.
Yeah, well, the retirement conversation is pretty easy here, right? Put money aside now, even if it's $20 a month, $50 a month, whatever that is to you. Even if you're not putting it in any kind of like retirement funds, you know, SEP IRAs, things like that, put it into a savings account, have a rainy day fund. I know I talk about it all the time, but having financial, you know, basically peace of mind, it will change the way you behave in so many different ways. And if you're the person that's going to start a reselling business with, you know, a credit card, just quit. Just quit. It's not going to work. If you can't afford it when you first start and you need to sell, you know, your phone you have sitting around for 10 plus years that you're never going to use again, like, you can easily start this business by cash flow. So that's 100%. If you think you're going to start reselling today, and your plan is to, you know, go get a Chase 0% APR, Johnny, 5% cash back, I'm gonna be rich. Like, this is not for you. Quit before you even start.
Right. I mean, Mike's a little bit more conservative on this than I would be, but I can't in good conscience tell the 99.9% of people listening to this to go out and charge stuff. To the 0.01% people I'm referring to, so the Johnnies out there, sure, go do it. Fine.
I mean, there's
But you
plenty
gotta
of
know how
people.
to do it. And most people don't. And that's the painful part. And the other side painful part, you got all the, no offense, Mike. Absolutely. Present company excluded from this next statement. They all tell you to do it, and they're fucking wrong. Yeah, I said fucking wrong.
It's the truth. I think let's do some rapid fire. People we
Sure.
think should quit. We'll just throw crazy things out there
Like real
real.
people we know? Because I got a list.
No. Dude, I keep a list of everybody right here in front of me.
Tommy Boy's right at the top. Now, Tommy Boy's doing everything right.
Everybody that joins the channel, like, that they have a little stick figure on the wall, right? And then when I don't hear from them or see them in a month, I just get my dry eraser and I erase them, and then I put a little tombstone with their name on it, and that's how I keep track of it. People come and go, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think I've tried things, you know, business-wise in the past that just didn't work for me. And sometimes it does take somebody else telling you, hey, this ain't it. Like, Johnny, you're wasting your damn time. Like, stop trying to, you know, have a hot dog stand in the middle of nowhere, Texas. Like, nobody wants to buy your hot dogs.
Oh, it's like me selling what are they called? Ice cones. Is that what they called?
Yes, the little snow cones, you know.
Yeah, selling snow cones in Michigan in winter. Yeah, that's what that's like.
But see, the problem is, I tell you to stop selling hot dogs, and you're like, but, like, no, there's no more buts. Like, that's it. You gotta just leave it alone. Like, you gotta do something else. We just continue to drag along stuff that doesn't make sense in our lives and in our business for no apparent reason other than just to say, hey, I can go to the thrift store and have some fun.
Okay, before we do this rapid fire thing, two things. One, stop putting off what you're putting off. Correct it today. People prolong issues way too long. I can't stand it myself. I deal with it the day. The worst is it takes me 2 days to fix a problem. And that's mainly me waiting on other people to that are preventing me. Like me emailing support back and forth, that's out of my control. So it may take 2 days to resolve. Or I'm just overloaded with there's too many bad things going on, and I have to prioritize the badness. So the things at the end of that list may have to get pushed off to 2 days. But very rarely does anything go beyond a day that's a problem or an issue I'm directly facing that I can't fix or in the process of fixing up. Even if it takes me a week to finish fixing it, I don't start the process the next day. I deal with it the day of. Number two, on that same note, if you're dealing with ongoing problems, free yourself of those problems. I'm not talking about correcting it in this statement here. That junk pile that's in the corner, get rid of it.
Burn it.
Set it on fire for all I care. Get it out of your life. That's a problem that's in your face every day that takes up mental real estate that you could be assigning to your business to make more money. You need to fix the, I don't know, the air conditioner in your vehicle or your alternator or whatever to make your car go so you can go sourcing. Go fix your car. Sorry, I'm only allowed two F words on a podcast
That's
episode.
right.
I've used them. So deal with, fix the issues and eliminate the issues. That's probably the biggest piece of advice I can give you in this episode. And if you can't do either, GTFO there.
Just, oh my God, we're becoming like the younger generation. We're just going to
Like
use.
old cranky men, like you remember, like the Muppets, those two old men heckling everybody in the from
Yeah.
above.
Maybe
That's us.
we can start the podcast like for a while there was that like was that like well that's how we'll start it because that's how old and grumpy we are. All right, rapid fire people that you quit. First one I got for you is that people that think you're going to walk into thrift stores and hit some of these crazy gold bar finds every single time that you like you see on YouTube.
That's a good one. People who want to talk about philosophy and existential reasons behind reselling.
People who think money doesn't matter.
People who think they will liquidate their savings and max their credit cards after their savings are gone.
People who type in the search bar on YouTube, how to cheat and get ahead and selling on eBay.
People who don't listen to advice given to them by coaches.
People who think they can copy six-figure, seven-figure businesses overnight.
Good one. People who are selling products they have no business selling.
People who spend more on equipment and trinkets than they do on inventory.
People whose Instagram account's bigger than their bank account.
That's a good one. That should have been like the final like dong one that we had. Instagram account bigger than your bank account. Holy smokes. Dude, listen, just because you're a boomer and you're not on Instagram, don't be hating on us out here.
Oh man.
You see now I'm at a loss for I'm at a loss for everything. People who don't want to take the fast dollar today over the $5 in the long run.
People switching business models every month.
People who think best offers are the work of the devil.
People who think promoted listings are the work of the devil.
That's so true. Like, if you get offended by a customer message, you're not going to last. Anything else?
People who
Put
the coupons.
candies in their
No,
packages.
I got it. I got it. This is the best one. People who actively post on the eBay and Amazon forums.
Yes, that is. I mean, maybe when I retire, I'll get involved with the forum games that go on eBay. And like, people were all bent out of shape when I made that video, but like, the forums ain't it. Like, what are you getting out of it? Like, it's craziness. It's madness. It's people that have no idea how to run their business. And eBay, I couldn't even find anything related to business. It's all just like, hey, let's play Hangman today. Let's play Hangman. I'll go first. Or like, let's write a story together. Like, maybe we should just do a podcast where we. Everybody as a group just writes a story or like a Zoom call 1 week. Like we'll just go around, everybody says one word. It'll be like, remember those little booklets where you could put like a noun, an adjective, and then like a
Oh, yeah.
verb,
Yeah,
and it
yeah.
like automatically fills it in and it's like some crazy story. Like that's what the eBay forums are. All right, everybody. At the end of the day, if you're not getting the results, it's A-okay to quit, but there's also something to be said about taking a look in the mirror, seeing if you can change something before you throw in the towel. and give yourself a reasonable amount of time to see if you can make things work. You should be making money reselling. The profits are, the ROI is crazy. Even though people complain about the fees going up, we still can go buy items for under $10 and sell them on average for, $30 to $50 on the conservative side endlessly, because there's thrift stores everywhere. And on the topic of that, and the last final call I have for you is, if you think that you can't find the profitable items in your area just because of your area, you should quit. So we appreciate you listening, watching over on the YouTube, and we'll talk to you all next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.